she's beautiful. Everyone knows she's one of a kind.
Hello, and welcome to the Mass Monologues Podcast, the anonymous podcast for creators. I'm so excited that you're here with us today for this first episode. I am your host, aka Girl. I want to start off with a short story explaining why I created this podcast. The other day, I was going out approaching people if they were willing to film reaction videos to my songs in order to promote my brand on social media platforms such as Instagram and TikTok. What I noticed was that everyone, although they loved my songs and they gave me positive feedback, they were hesitant to have their face on camera. They didn't want to be seen. They were camera shy. Although these people, they had a voice, they had a story, they had experiences that others could learn from. That's why I created this podcast, a faceless podcast where anyone can come on here, talk about their creative process and their past life experiences. If you support this mission and you agree with our message, then please do share this podcast with friends or family members. Okay, I know that whenever any podcaster tells you to go and share their podcast, you're thinking, yeah, just get to the gist of it. Come on, we don't have all day. But it would mean a lot if you just shared this or pressed follow. It would help us to grow. So please do that. Now, I'll get right into how the structure of this podcast will work. Basically, I will read a couple of questions, then I'll answer those questions referring back to my experiences with singing, songwriting, with creating content, with starting up businesses, and hopefully you can learn something from that. In the future, I do hope to have entrepreneurs and creatives on this podcast, so stay tuned for that. I will start off by answering the first question. What initially inspired you to pursue a career in your creative field? As a singer-songwriter, I've always been in love with music. Music has always been my personal therapist, in a sense. Whenever I was feeling under the weather, or I was angry, or I had anxiety, and I couldn't exactly go to people and talk to them about it, I would either scribble down lyrics in my notebooks. I've had about 4 or 5 diaries that I've kept, which is just me journaling every day or writing song lyrics and making stories out of the emotions that I've felt or just little sparks of inspiration that I've seen around. And in addition to that, blasting on a Taylor Swift song or an Ed Sheeran song when you're upset is one of the most relieving things you can do. I do this because songs are unique in the sense that they are universally relatable. You don't exactly have to go through the same heartbreak that Taylor Swift has gone through, you know, her breakup songs. You don't have to know every specific detail about them to relate to the emotion of hurt, to relate to the emotion of upset, of disarray, of anger. And that is why songs appeal to everyone, because we are emotional beings. We can relate to each other and to each other's experiences. We can empathize with someone else. We can console someone because we know what they've been through, what they've gone through, what they've done. And that is why I chose to write songs and create music, and also to write and just create content for others to consume. How do you overcome creative blocks or periods of low inspiration? So, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's nothing new. It's just keep doing what it is that you do. What I like to do is I like to put my phone away for 30 minutes, lock it in a drawer, go into a different room, just give myself a piece of paper, a pen, no distractions, and eventually you will get so bored sitting there that your mind will just naturally come up with things to talk about. You'll write down those thoughts and suddenly you'll have pages of these ideas, which I call seeds, which you can create something out of. On the other hand, you could try another technique. What I do sometimes as a writer, as you know, both an author and a songwriter, is I go to cafes or I go to public places, and sometimes I eavesdrop on conversations, and I'll hear this one sentence, this one phrase that will just stand out to me, and then I'll use that sort of like a spark that ignites a huge flame, and use that to create more content. So I'll take a phrase, let's say, who's the boy, and then I'll create an entire song around it, which I did do that. So if you want to check out that song called Who's the Boy, you can find that on my Spotify. Next question. What role does collaboration play in your creative process? How do you find the right collaborators? I will answer this question in two parts. The first one being that collaboration is vital. Collaboration is imperative. Collaboration is key. You need collaboration in order to create something masterful, something wonderful. This is because what one can do alone, two can do 10 times easier. Two people will always be stronger than one. And even if you have a team and you have other people, you can delegate the task out to them as to what their strengths are. That is the beauty of collaboration. How do you find the right collaborators? You find the right collaborators by finding the people who complement your strengths and compensate for your weaknesses. So I'm just thinking of this through the lens of songwriting, and it's if you're a wonderful lyricist and you are a good singer, then maybe you want to collaborate with someone who is good at music production, who's an audio engineer, who knows how to take those lyrics, how to take those vocals, and how to place them in an instrumental track. Maybe that's something for you. And that way, you two are both great at different areas. You can be the leader of those areas. You can control and dictate what happens in the lyric process, in the vocal process, and on the other hand, the other person can dictate what happens in the music production component of it. So you two are working together, and that's what I do with my collaborators. That's what I found works best for me. But you can apply the same concept to, let's say you are a cinematographer and you're great at taking shots, like video shots around scenes, around objects. But say you want actors and actresses in your films or in your videos, then maybe you can collaborate with a writer and some actresses and actors in order to bring together this large idea. This is how people materialize art. Next question. How do you stay motivated and continue to grow and evolve as an artist or creative? Staying motivated, I've known, is a common topic that's being discussed in pop culture today, and it's self-motivated. How do you get up in the morning and do what you're supposed to do? How do you keep doing what you're doing, even if you don't see results? My answer to this is you always have to refer back to your why. Why are you getting up in the morning to shoot a video? Why are you getting up in the morning to dance? Why are you getting up in the morning to sing? Why are you getting up in the morning to work on your business? And it all boils down to you have a purpose. You have a mission. There's a reason why you're doing what you're doing. And if that reason is bigger than all of the inconveniences that your craft or your art brings on, then you will be able to stay motivated. That's what I've noticed in anyone that I've seen is successful with art, with creating, with businesses. That is my advice for staying self-motivated. I know that's vague and broad, and it's hard to take that and use it as a tactic to apply to your life. But I guess on the micro scale of it, you can set timers for you, create a schedule, create a calendar, have an accountability partner, someone who checks in on you to say, oh, have you done it? I was reading a book and he was talking about he had to ask his best friend to take out all the clothes in his closet to keep him from going outside meeting people and so he could focus on writing his book. That is an extreme case, but if that's what you need to do, then maybe it's what you need to do. I would suggest maybe have your friend change your Netflix password until Friday, let's say. And if you're not done what you're supposed to do until that date, then he takes away Netflix privileges or whatever you'd like to do, anything that works for you. It's hard to say exactly what you should do because I've noticed all the advice people have given me, some of it I have taken into consideration and then the rest of it I have discarded because it just wouldn't apply for me. It's not practical. It won't work for my circumstances, for my situation. And that just varies among people. It's not a bad thing and it's not a good thing either. So I'd say just take everything in, be a sponge, absorb it all, but then disregard what's not working for you. You've heard of the 80-20 principle where 20% of the things are what will get you results and the 80% of the things that you're doing are just extra, they're additional, they're extraneous. They're not going to get you the results that you'd like to get. Next question. How do you navigate the challenges of self-promotion and marketing your work without feeling inauthentic? I believe that you can market your work and feel authentic if you believe that the quality of work that you're doing is up to par. If you believe that your song is good and has some meaning to it and could mean something to someone, then why wouldn't you want to go out there and share it with other people? Why wouldn't you want other people to have the pleasure that songs have brought to you? Or conversely, if you dance, why wouldn't you want to dance in front of others? Why wouldn't you want to share your art with other people? And to me, that is how you can stay authentic. Another tidbit I want to add on about staying authentic is that you should create what feels right to you and don't do things just because you think it will get views. Don't do things just because you think that other people will like it. Because if other people don't like what you think other people will like, why wouldn't you just spend that time doing something that you'd like? And whether it gets views, whether it doesn't get views, change it, edit it. Because the truth is that we want to be able to continue what we're doing. So we need our audience to love what we do and what our purpose is. So you want to be bringing them value. But how you do that can change. It can vary. And keep it as authentic to you as possible and also authentic to your audience. You want to create a win-win situation where both parties benefit, where everyone feels as though their needs are met, and where you can continue to produce more work, where you can produce more content, just being motivated by the fact that your art is true to you. Can you share some strategies for managing time effectively and maintaining a healthy work-life balance as a creative? I believe that you have to know where you want your career to go. If you are the type of person who loves to spend only 6 hours doing work each day and then have the rest of the time with your family, then you have to realize that you might not go as far career-wise as someone who is working all hours a day. And that's just the reality of it. So you have to define your goals, what you want. And if family is something that you prioritize and you'd like to be around your family, then that's great. Go do that. But if you also want to create, it depends how invested you are into your art. I'd say that if you get a calendar, expect to get out as much as you put into it. Your input should equate to your output. So I'm not necessarily saying that if you've done 10 or 20 hours of something, then expect to get thousands and thousands of views, because that's not going to happen immediately. But if you are putting more hours than someone else and you're doing things correctly, you're tweaking, you're taking in feedback, you're editing, you're changing, you're working towards it, then yes, you will get a greater output than someone who only does it for 15 minutes a day and disregards any feedback. So I'd say create a schedule, write down how much time you're going to allocate to your art, what you're going to do specifically in that time period, and just keep doing it. You have to rinse and repeat. So that would be my advice to you. What do you think sets successful creatives apart from those who struggle to find recognition or success? My philosophy has changed over the past years. I used to think that all you'd need to do to be successful was to create work that was up to par, that was exceptional, that was great. But now that I've looked into it, I've noticed that a lot of it has to do with marketing, with branding, with connecting to your audience, with knowing how to create different forms of content other than your art. So let's say you are an artist who creates landscape paintings, and that's all you do. You need to create those landscape paintings, but if you want to scale it to a business, you're going to need to know how to design a website, how to take photos of your art, what aesthetics you should use, how to brand that art. Then you have to know, who are you marketing to? Who is your target audience? So there is a lot of that business aspect that comes into being a successful artist, or else no one's going to know what you do if you don't tell them what you do, if you don't define it for them, if you don't share it with them. You need to be able to communicate what you do. And I believe that is what sets successful creatives apart from unsuccessful ones. If you look at Taylor Swift, you'll notice that she is not the best singer in the world. She just isn't. There are singers out there who could sing circles around her, but she does write exceptional lyrics. She knows how to create stories. She knows how to convey a message. And then the messages she conveys in her songs, she writes about them, or she talks about them on her social media platforms. She shares them with other people. She writes stories about the songs that she's written. And she speaks to her audience so they understand where she's coming from and what she's trying to communicate. There's a lot more to it than just writing the songs. There's that whole marketing aspect of it. How do you define success in your creative career, and has that definition evolved over time? How it defines success in a creative career would be, are you meeting the goals that you've set for yourself? Set aside all the goals that others have set for you. It's not about what your mom wants you to be. It's not about what your best friend thinks you should be. It's about you personally. Have you got to where you want to go? If the answer is yes, then you've achieved creative success. But if you crave more, if you want to go farther, then your answer is no, and you need to still continuously work towards that goal. So that's how I would define success in your career. I want to thank you so much for staying on this podcast. I know it's been a little while, and I've stumbled over myself a couple of times, but thank you for being here today. It means a lot to me, and yeah, just stay cool. Bye.